Tribeca.
This is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Time to buy some beachfront property in North Korea, Len. This could be one of the best investments you ever make. Pick it up right now as North Korea agrees in a historic summit to get rid of the nukes, to open up for the West. President Trump has said we will suspend military exercises with South Korea. Peace is busting out all over, Len. And it's brought to you by President Donald J. Trump. Good morning, Len.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
So, you buy it, huh?
Yes, I do buy it.
Well, here's the statement. Here's the official text that the two of them put out hours ago. President Trump committed to provide security guarantees to DPRK, which is the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And Chairman Kim Jong-un reaffirmed his firm and unwavering commitment to complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Only Trump could have pulled this one off.
There's something Obama couldn't do.
Bush couldn't do.
Don't jump the gun. This is just the beginning.
Yes.
I mean, let's hope this wasn't like a congressional hearing where they all make a lot of noise and then they walk away and nothing happens, much like guns. So just because he confirmed, you know, there are a lot of people out there. A lot of people are saying that this statement really is. There's no teeth to it.
The New York Times, National Public Radio, CNN, all the enemies of Trump,
not enemies,
the people who won't give him an inch, are already saying there's nothing to this statement.
So what does this mean? Okay, Mr. Trump sycophant over there.
Thank you.
Tell me what this means. Chairman Kim Jong-un reaffirmed his firm and unwavering commitment to complete the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Well, it's very firm. There are a lot of firms there.
So when's it going to start?
Soon.
Tuesday?
Soon.
Friday?
Even Trump has said it's going to take some time.
Of course
time.
It's going to take
Kim
time.
Kim Jong-un, he's got to get back to North Korea.
All I'm saying is just don't jump the gun. This is a great beginning.
The President of the United States sat down with one of our enduring enemies in this world.
Correct.
And within a 5 to 6 hour meeting, achieved more than previous administrations have done over decades.
Okay, he achieved a statement. Okay, good. Well, congratulations.
It's a very strong start, Len.
It's a start.
And he announced that he will suspend military exercises
with South Korea.
I think that's a specific thing.
I think Kim won there.
Well, it's a negotiation. Kim's going to get things. We're going to get things.
I don't know what we got, but I think Kim getting this is significant.
Under the circumstances that we're negotiating a very comprehensive, complete deal, I think it's inappropriate to be having war games. So, number one, we save money a lot. And number two, it really is something that I think they very much appreciated.
Trump may have gotten gaming rights to build a hotel and casino in the DMZ. Is that the agreement there?
That would not surprise me. I told you about that beach resort that CBS News did a story about a couple of weeks ago. Maybe that's all about it. Yeah, nice Trump Tower there in North Korea.
Could be.
Let's go.
That leads off our big three, the historic meeting between President Donald J. Trump and Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un, he looked very happy. He looked like Tweedledee or Tweedledum when he came waddling out there. And I said to my television when I watched the meet, I said, pull Trump's tie. Just come on, pull that red
What's
tie.
Gonna
I
happen?
Wanted to pull the red tie a little
but
bit.
But this is a big deal for Kim.
It was.
Because there are an equal number of Korean flags as American flags. He's standing there with the President of the United States. This is a big deal.
Now,
Kim did great.
Now, of course, the detractors, and there are many, and they're already out there saying, you know, how dare Trump elevate Kim Jong-un to the level of world leader? And what about human rights? And, of course, National Public Radio, they're already running around trying to find North Koreans who got out of the country who are very disappointed that Trump didn't push him hard on human rights and whatnot. But one step at a time, let's get rid of the nukes first, and then we'll worry about the human rights in the country.
I don't disagree with that. Trump said during a news conference that he did bring up rights. And Trump also made the point, I'll talk to anyone. That's fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. So I don't have a problem with him. Meeting with him, he claims he brought up, but this is not, the nukes are the big thing. That's first. Okay.
Absolutely.
You're not going to turn North Korea into a democracy. I don't think you can expect America to run around the world turning all these countries into democracies.
Well, we tried that in Iraq and it didn't go so well.
Well, I'm just saying. So okay, they have human rights violations. Absolutely. And
so does China. So does Russia. We got to do business with all of them.
But I mean, first things first here.
And those rights violations in Canada, outrageous.
Well, that's the thing. But people see all his detractors are saying, you know, Justin Trudeau stabbed him in the back, but there's Rocket Man smiling away across
giving him
the
a
table.
Hug, practically. I love it. Also in the Big Three, it's official. You can now place your bets, or you will be able to place your bets in New Jersey starting, I do believe,
Thursday morning.
10:30 Thursday morning.
What's that the time? 10:30? 10:30
Thursday morning. Monmouth track will be open.
And you know who's going to make the first bet?
Joe Bartlett when he gets back from his vacation.
Phil Murphy. Governor New Jersey is going to make the first bet in Monmouth Park Thursday morning. And then it'll be fascinating. You know, we'll check out in the days ahead. But apparently you'll be able to bet on all kinds of... I heard someone claiming, we'll find out tomorrow, that you can bet on if the next pitch is going to be a ball or a strike. Really?
Oh, my God. You're going to be betting on everything.
So, I mean, so this is really, in some ways, not great for people with gambling addictions.
Well, there go the kids' college tuition. There goes the retirement fund.
Seriously,
there goes
may
the
happen.
Mortgage.
May happen.
You can bet on everything.
May happen.
And rounding out the Big Three, well, a blistering lawsuit against the New York City Housing Authority brought to it by the feds. They are saying that NYCHA covered up all of this.
Well, they lied.
Terrible. These buildings are falling apart, and when they knew inspectors were coming, they would run over the buildings. They'd plug holes where
with
rats
paper.
Lived with paper.
Newspaper. Are you kidding me?
There's lead paint all over the place.
Oh, that's awful.
19 kids got to lead paint poisoning in places that NYCHA declared was free of lead paint problems. And, of course, de Blasio, is he accepting responsibility?
Well, is anybody
absolutely not.
Is anybody being held accountable?
No. No one is ever held accountable.
But the city is going to spend...
What is de Blasio says? It's because we had cutbacks all these years at another... Nothing to do with me. This has been happening long before I came to power here. It's got nothing to do with me. Steve Cuso, a tough reporter we got at the New York Post, he calls for de Blasio to resign in the New York Post. I don't think.
Well, the good news coming out of all this, if you want to call it good news, is they have to spend $2 billion. That's part of this lawsuit. They have to spend $2 billion to improve things over the next decade or so. So really, it must be horrible for these people living there.
They covered up squalid conditions, including lead paint, vermin, broken elevators, and no heat during the winter.
And who's responsible?
I think Mayor de Blasio is. But he's not going to take any responsibility. This is ammunition for Cuomo to blast away.
Well, but they all lied. That's the thing. They lied. They covered it up.
Well,
cheated these people.
The head of it had to resign not too long ago.
Yeah.
So it's a mess. What a mess. You really feel sorry for the people who've had to endure these terrible conditions that should have been fixed by this city. But now the federal government is going to force NYCHA to spend $2.2 billion to fix up these places.
Yeah.
No more toilet paper in the holes where the rats
is that
live.
Crazy, put newspaper in the holes? That's just unbelievable.
Well, what they were doing, they would find out when the federal inspectors were going to look at these buildings, and then they'd quickly run over to some of these buildings and do a quick mock-up to make them look better to try to fool the inspectors.
You know, I've been in the city virtually my whole life. I don't think I've ever been in one of these housing projects, and I can't imagine what it must be like. If anybody has some firsthand knowledge, you know, just be, you know, feel free to give us a call at any time at 800-321-0710. I can't imagine living in these kinds of conditions, and it's city-run housing.
But the problem is that these people don't have a voice, so their message has never gotten out because no one would ever listen to them. And there are people who haven't had they haven't had a stove in years.
They haven't had heat in years.
You know, I think you have to credit your rival newspaper. They did some good work on this, the Daily News. You know, they brought
the Post has a big story on it.
Well, now, after the fact, the Daily News has done a lot of investigative reporting.
Well, nobody
they've been all over, and
nobody pays attention to what's in the Daily News, Len. No one's reading the Daily News.
Wait a second. We're guilty, too. You see these articles every day. We didn't bring it up on the show, you know.
We talked about NYCHA. Sure.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
When the head of it had to resign, we talked about
it. So you begrudgingly will give the Daily News any
I'm not giving the
credit?
Daily News. No. Until the Post covers it.
It doesn't happen.
I'm telling you. Till it's in the Post, it ain't
unbelievable.
Happening. Hey, by the way, you know what I noticed? I really would like to stay at the Capella Hotel in Sentosa Island. That's a really nice
that
hotel
nice,
where
right? That
Kim Jong-un
really nice,
and Donald Trump stayed. One of those old British colonial times when the British Empire extended all over the world.
They left. Trump's already on Air Force One. He's coming back. You know, boom. They're out of there.
24-hour flight back.
24-hour flight back.
24
wow.
hours.
A lot of time to tweet, you know?
He was up for 25 hours.
That's what he said. 25 straight hours. But you know what? Here's what he said.
Really fantastic meeting. A lot of progress. Really very positive. I think better than anybody could have expected. Top of the line. Really good.
Top of the line. Sounds like New York, New York.
One thing interesting, we were saying, he doesn't prepare this, that, and the other thing. He's got the toot. He can size up the guy when he walks in the room. Something he said I found very interesting. He was moved and touched during the campaign by talking to people whose sons were killed in Korea and whose remains are still there. And that seemed to stick in his mind. And he did extract from Kim the promise to begin returning remains of our soldiers all these years later. So clearly, North Korea, something that was rattling around in his head for a long time, Len.
Yeah, you know, I'm totally hopeful. I really think it leads to great things. I think this is a terrific, terrific day one. But it's going to take a long time.
Well, Trump himself says that. It's not going to happen overnight.
No, no, no. Absolutely not.
But he's extended the invitation to the White House, Kim Jong-un, and he says he will go to Pyongyang at some point.
Well,
break ground for the Trump Hotel and Tower.
I wouldn't count on him going to North Korea, but I think the next step might be for Kim. That would be something. Kim coming to the White House.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? So
I can't imagine.
I'd love to see how it's being played up in North Korea. He'll be going back a conquering hero probably in his country.
Well, you know, but apparently now I saw one report that they didn't televise the handshake live. They just they had color bars up on North Korean television.
The antenna was probably broken there in the country. So they had to
really? I'm surprised because I thought him being, in his eyes, being shown as an equal to the President of the United States on that stage in Singapore, I thought that would have been huge for North Korea.
Why do I have a feeling that television sets in North Korea still have rabbit ears on them?
They probably do.
I don't think they have high-definition television there.
I know, absolutely.
But a historic moment, and I am amazed that... No, I'm not amazed. I knew President Trump could pull this off. He doesn't come with the baggage of the boring, old diplomatic bureaucracy that all the other presidents came with. He just blew it up, and now he's got an agreement. All right, coming up next, we are headed to Singapore to check in with ABC News correspondent Karen Travers, who's on the scene. We'll talk about the landmark agreement. But first, let's check in on the traffic with Bernie Vider.
WOR.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6:24 on a historic day where the President of the United States shakes hands and comes up with an agreement with Kim Jong-un. And we've got Karen Travers standing by live in Singapore, the ABC News White House correspondent. Karen, you had a front row seat to all of this. What's your number one takeaway from all this?
Well, I think President Trump is declaring this a success. He's really focused on Kim Jong-un's agreeing and commitment to give up his nuclear weapons, but there isn't a time frame for how long it would take for that to happen. The president did say it will be a long time. I think another big headline, there's a lot of things that came out of the president's press conference that he held a couple hours ago after the summit sessions wrapped up. The president says he will be ending joint military exercises between the U.S. and South Korea. He called them provocative. He called them inappropriate and said the U.S. will save a lot of money by stopping them. Now, the president also said that he did not make any concessions to North Korea, but certainly the North Koreans have very consistently objected to these exercises. They view them as a potential practice for any military action by the U.S. and South Korea.
Karen, we've had the theatrical display here, but what happens next? Technically, what are the next steps to begin getting rid of the nukes in North Korea?
That's a big question. I mean, there's not a lot of detail on that just yet. The president says he's directed his Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, to very quickly have follow-up negotiations with North Korea. The question, though, is, you know, how does this all play out? What does this look like? The president had made it clear heading into this that it was going to be the beginning of a process. He says he will have to have more meetings with Kim Jong-un. So now we look to see what the timeline is and how this goes about, Michael.
Well, I'm with Karen Travers, ABC News White House correspondent. They put out this joint statement, made four big points. Point number three, obviously the most important here, and it reads, reaffirming the April 27th, 2018 Panmunjom Declaration that the DPRK, North Korea, commit to working toward complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Now, the critics will say, what does that really, really mean? What do you take it to mean?
Well, you know, that's the big question, I think, is what does this look like? How do they go about this? And why is this time different? I mean, the president certainly sounded very optimistic at his press conference that this is different because the pressure campaign had worked, that Kim Jong-un decided the timing was right because he wants to get relief from economic sanctions, because the administration has made it very clear that if Kim Jong-un does not do this in a verifiable way, those sanctions will remain in place, if not continue.
Maybe I'm reading too much into the body language, Karen, but it seemed to me that Trump and Kim Jong-un, they sort of got along right off the bat when they met.
Yeah, I mean, that first handshake was a little bit tense, you know, serious expressions before that first round of cameras. Then they walked away and suddenly there were smiles and kind of, you know, a lot of body language. They were touching each other on the back, President Trump leading Kim Jong-un into the room. Later, his words matched that. I mean, he was gushing with praise for the North Korean leader, calling him very talented. He says he's a great negotiator who's trying to do great things for his country.
And they were just the two of them and their translators in the room together, right?
For that first meeting, yeah.
For that first
absolutely.
Meeting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Karen, what did you think of, what did you think of this soundbite towards the end of the news conference? Let me play it for you.
I think, honestly, I think he's going to do these things. I may be wrong. I mean, I may stand before you in 6 months and say, hey, I was wrong. I don't know that I'll ever admit that, but I'll find a, I'll find some kind of an excuse.
Well, that's kind of charming.
Karen, did he muss up his hair a little and say, hey, little rocket man, how you doing?
No, we did not see that, Michael. But, you know, there's a quote to hold the president to in a couple months. Let's see what he says. He said a similar statement to ABC's George Stephanopoulos. He did an interview with him after the summit had wrapped up. And, you know, he says, this is what I think right now. Maybe I'll be wrong. We'll see. That's certainly what the president likes to say.
Yeah, one last thing, Karen, too. I thought we were getting to a place where they could declare an end to the Korean War. That did not happen, though.
It did not happen. And, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be the U.S. and North Korea doing that. It'd be North and South Korea, but of course the U.S. can play a role. I think now that this summit has passed, look for perhaps President Moon of South Korea to push forward on that now that this is out of the way.
All right, Karen Travers, ABC News White House correspondent in Singapore. Thanks for your input, Karen. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, I think that's the next step. I think they've already hinted at that. The next step is Kim Jong-un meets with the South Korean president, and they work out the end. But obviously, this is the number one key objective is...
Chairman Kim and I just signed a joint statement in which he reaffirmed his unwavering commitment to complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. We also agreed to vigorous negotiations to implement the agreement as soon as possible.
All right, so sanctions stay in place.
Yes.
And, you know, if they achieve complete verifiable denuclearization,
you
today,
will vote for Trump in the reelection?
I will vote for him to get the Nobel Peace Prize.
You don't have a vote in that.
I don't, huh?
No.
Oh, well, then I don't know. I'll abstain then. So, but this is clearly day number one of a long process, and I thought it was remarkable.
Absolutely, it was historic. I had goosebumps when I saw them shaking
hands.
No,
you didn't. Coming up at 6:30 here, Joe Bartlett has a few days off, so we welcome back Mike Bauer. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, fellas. President Trump says North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has agreed to give up those nuclear weapons. He made the announcement following an historic summit in Singapore and says Kim could even visit the U.S.
That will be a day that I look very much forward to at the appropriate time. And I also will be inviting Chairman Kim at the appropriate time to the White House.
I bet he goes to Disney World while he's here.
Why wouldn't he?
Of course.
See one of those little keychain things you look through to see the picture in
don't
it?
They have a height restriction on some of the rides?
He can't get on Space Mountain.
I'm not sure he can. It's a small world after all. I'm not sure.
Oh, he looks like one of those little animatronic dolls in the It's
just
a Small
set
World
up
ride.
On the stage
it's
as you're driving
a small, I can see it after all. It's going to love it.
It's perfect.
Governor Cuomo is launching a bus tour. It's aimed at rallying lawmakers towards a so-called red flag gun bill. The measure would allow teachers and family members to petition a judge to take away a person's gun if they feel they're in danger.
We've lost more students to gun violence than we've lost military servicemen and women at war this year.
Governor Cuomo says the issue of school shootings is an ongoing social crisis. And this news report brought to you by New York City Pain MD. Treatment for arthritis pain, call 1-855-OLD-KNEE. That's 1-855-653-5633. Fellas, is Megyn Kelly on the move? Page Six reports that NBC is considering moving Megyn Kelly today to an hour later and moving Kathy Lee Gifford and Hoda Kotb's hour up.
That's because her show is terrible.
By the way, I think that would be a good move.
You do?
I think her show is more reflective of a later morning show.
Her show is just bad, Lynn.
Well, forget it. But whatever you think of her show, having an audience and the kind of issues she deals with, I think is more reflective of a show that's later in the morning. And I think Hoda and Kathy Lee would be a good move to. That's more. Their show is more reflective of the Today Show. So you'd have that block from 7 to 10.
Fits into the the morning magazine kind of element as opposed to a straight news for Kelly kind of a thing.
I think it would be a good thing.
And their chemistry is almost as good as ours.
And we do it without the wine.
I was going to say, you guys need more wine and need a box of wine.
Well, I do always bring a thermos in.
You claim this tap water in there. Mm. I have my doubts.
Smells an awful lot like white Zin, if you ask me.
Rosé, it's that time of year from Provençal.
Nice, very nice. Kelly's ratings have been disappointing. Lenson's taken over the 9 o'clock hour. Kathy Lee and Hoda's ratings have also suffered as a result. Yeah. And the insider says, not just Len Berman, it's the smart move.
It is a smart move, and I think that's the key point you just made, that Kelly's ratings have hurt Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Yeah.
So if you flip them, I think Kathy Lee and Hoda might actually help Megyn Kelly. It'll be a more reflective show. That's all. Thanks, Mike.
Look at Mr. NBC program over here, Len Berman.
I have a little bit of a feel for TV.
Look out, Andy Lack.
It's a feel. It's just, I can tell in the first minute. When we get back, we do have some sad news for one of America's best-known skiers and team up at Shinnecock. But, try to be nice to the golfers, will you, if you go out there? Hey, but first, let's see what Bernie Vider's got cooking with traffic.
Bridge starts here on 710 WOR at 6:05. Zach Wheeler, starting pitcher, good lineup could be.
Wheeler was good as last time out. And, of course, a little bit of a shakeup with Adrian Gonzalez, one of the veterans now off the team. And they brought in a couple of replacements from Las Vegas. So we'll see if the new look Mets do a little bit of damage in Atlanta. Atlanta, over the years, they haven't done well down there. And as I said, Atlanta playing particularly well. But that's the story with the Mets. And, of course, once again, we have your Mets tickets coming up at 7:30. We'll give away a pair of tickets. And then at 8:30, we have Michael's personal seats.
Yes.
So that's...
all we need are a few hits down there in Atlanta.
That's our...
Back on track.
Well, that's been the story. They're starting pitching. As I said, Wheeler was fine his last time. And, Matz has pitched well. And they hope to get Syndergaard back. That's a big question mark with the Mets now. He's going to, see how he feels over the next several days. They thought he would return last Sunday against the Yankees. It didn't happen. And now with Cespedes and his ongoing saga with his injuries, Yoenis Cespedes was in rehab game in Port St. Lucie, and his quads are still barking at him. And here we go. It's a never-ending story with Cespedes. So they've got to overcome some key injuries if they want to try to turn this ship around.
And be sure to listen to the Mets post-game show tonight so you can get the Turning Point, because tomorrow we will be giving away Turning Point tickets at 8:30.
Also, Jerry Blevins shows up every Tuesday night with Pete McCarthy at 6:10, and he's always entertaining the Mets relievers, so something to look forward to on that front. But there's some sad news, really heartbreaking news in the sports world this morning.
The great Olympic skier Bodie Miller, his 19-month-old daughter, Emmeline, she drowned at a pool party over the weekend. Can you imagine, Len?
I can't. Every parent's worst nightmare, that they're with a group of people and they take their eye off for 1 second and you lose a child.
Miller and his wife Morgan were at a neighbor's home in Orange County, California, Sunday for a pool party when their 19-year-old daughter drowned. I didn't know this, but O.J. Simpson had a 2-year-old daughter who died in an accidental drowning in the pool.
Yeah, O.J. had a daughter. Yeah, and Jack Nicklaus, 15 years ago, his grandson in the hot tub in their backyard.
Yeah,
17-month-old grandson died. It's a tragedy.
It can happen so fast.
Oh, in an instant.
So fast.
Did we get the age wrong there, Natalie?
She's 19 months.
19 months is Bodie Miller's deceased daughter. But Miller, and I've covered him a little bit. I talked to him briefly at the Olympics a few years back. He's the most decorated male U.S. skier ever. He won a gold, 3 silver, 2 bronze. Just kind of a rebel kind of guy. But they posted on Instagram, "We are beyond devastated. Our baby girl Emmy passed away yesterday. Never in a million years did we think we would experience a pain like this. Her love, her light, her spirit will never be forgotten. Our little girl lived to its fullest every day." Now, 4 months ago, they announced they were expecting their third child coming in October. So
I didn't realize. I mean, I guess you can drown really quickly. You'd think with all sorts of people in the pool, adults all around.
That's the thing.
You'd see a little girl bobbing around or not being able to catch a breath. Somebody would jump in to save her. But
it's every, I don't have to tell you, it's every parent's worst nightmare. You go to a pool party and you take your eye off for a second.
Yeah. And it happens so quick, and it's quiet. People don't realize that it's not a...
They're not flailing.
A 19-month-old is not going to be doing that like a an adult would at first. So it is one of those things that even if there are two parents there, it's almost worse because you're assuming the other person has their eye. If you're the single person there, you're usually more attentive. But when there's two people there, you're like, oh, or if there's a crowd of people. So you always have to see which one is, you know, on watch.
Maybe you should have a sort of a designated lifeguard watcher when you have these pool parties for kids where one parent is not drinking, is not working the cookout, is
my
watching
daughter,
the kids.
Who is a teenager, is going to a pool party but with a lot of kids. And it's a family party. And they have already said that, you know, if the parent is not going to be there, that you have to have another parent responsible for that, a teenager, because it does happen so quickly.
So even a teenager, you're not talking toddlers yet.
No, because they're not going to have a lifeguard at the pool.
Why worry about that? You know, they take crazy dives off the side of the pool.
Yes, cannonballs. Kids. Remember the cannonballs?
Well, you're not going to get, you know, you're not going to be injured that much by a cannonball. But you dive into a shallow end, and it's danger. I mean, it's really heartbreaking. So
I had a friend who was in the theater. He was a director, and I'm sure he was higher than a kite. He was out in East Hampton, and they were fooling around on the roof of the house they rented, and he decided to take a plunge into the pool from the roof, but there was no water in the pool.
Oh,
and he was paraplegic for the rest of his life.
Oh, my God. This is someone in the theater?
Yeah, he was the director of The Elephant Man. Jack Hofsis, his name was. He died about 7 or 8 months ago.
Wow.
But this was back in the 70s when he did this.
I remember, you know, that reminds a crazy story. I remember several years ago, I was on Live at 5 on TV, and some idiot dove off out of a motel room and tried to dive into the pool and missed.
Hey.
And was suing the hotel, you know, for having the pool so far away from the hotel.
From his diving board in his hotel room? Oh, my God. That is ridiculous.
And just quickly, if you're wondering what all that traffic is out by Shinnecock, the U.S. Open has come once again. I believe it's the third time it's been out of Shinnecock.
Yeah, it's a beautiful country club.
I remember the last time Retief Goosen won it, but very interesting story with the Post and Mark Cannizzaro. He told the Post that he just received unbelievable, classless taunting from some New York golf fans because they really wanted Phil Mickelson to win this thing.
That's rude.
Awful. He said, Goosen, Retief endured all kinds of Long Island verbal abuse that Rangers players used to get from Islanders fans at the Nassau Coliseum. Come on, golf fans. First of all, you know, act like you know what golf is all about.
And etiquette.
Really? You're going to razz a guy like that? Come on. Come on, golf fans. If you go to Shinnecock, act like you belong there.
Yeah,
all right?
Behave. Golf is an elegant,
yes,
aristocratic sport.
It is.
Must behave on the course.
I agree.
Hey, when we get back, the city's got to pay up for the disaster that is NYCHA. And we've got Mets tickets to give away at 7:30 and 8:30. But now let's check in on the traffic with Bernie Biden.
U-O-R.
That's 6:53 and change on a gorgeous Tuesday morning. It is the 12th of June, 2018. And obviously the big story and the dominant story is Korea. It happened overnight if you're just waking up. The two of them got along terrifically.
Yes.
They signed an agreement. Rocket Man is pledging to do away with his rockets, and everyone's going to live happily ever after.
And Trump is saying that he will suspend military exercises with South Korea, although South Korea is big. Getting a little wobbly on that. They're
Korea wants to know what that really means and why he's doing it, because South Korea likes those joint military exercises. So that's the big story, even though, and we'll talk about it in a moment, the New York Daily News, for some reason, thought that the NYCHA story is bigger. It's the housing. It is a big story.
Yeah.
But my goodness, today was just so significant with what happened on Korea. And what about Dennis Rodman? What the hell was up with that? He was on CNN last night.
When I said those damn things, when I went back home, I got so many death threats. I got so many death threats. I was sitting up protecting everything.
He's talking about when he got home
from North Korea.
From North Korea, and he was talking about meeting with Kim Jong-un, and now he starts crying incoherently about getting death threats.
And I believed in North Korea. And when I went home, I couldn't even go home. I couldn't even go home. I had to hide out for 30 days. I couldn't even go home. But I kept my head up high, brother. I knew things were going to change.
Okay, he lives in a padded cell.
He had to hide out for 30 days.
In a padded cell.
Because he was in North Korea singing karaoke and playing basketball with Kim Jong-un. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't the most popular move to make back then.
God.
But, Len, it has paid dividends. Who knew Dennis Rodman had Henry Kissinger in him?
Well, there you go. Maybe he, you know, greased the wheels there and got things going. Dennis Rodman.
President Trump doesn't listen to Foggy Bottom, but he listens to Dennis Rodman.
That's unbelievable.
You know?
So that's the he was crying on CNN last night. It seemed delusional. I mean,
I'll make you a bet. Guess who our next ambassador, maybe our first ambassador to North Korea is going to be?
Don't tell me it's Rodman.
It's going to be Dennis Rodman. Ambassador Rodman.
Oh, please. I'll never get through the metal detectors with all the stuff he's got in his face. All right, this night's a story. You know, it's been brewing for a long time, and you have to give credit. The Daily News has covered it a lot, and that's why they put it on their front page today. But now there's been a lawsuit, and there's been a settlement, and they're going to spend a couple of billion dollars to try to fix these places up. And the real story that came out of here is how the night shift people admitted that all the things that they covered up, you know, tenants were shivering, there's vermin, there's lead paint that poisoned 19 kids. There'd be holes in the wall, and they'd stick newspaper in there before, you know, inspections. And they really did a lousy job running this program.
400,000 NYCHA residents were exposed to poison by lead paint. Old people were trapped in broken elevators. There were frigid temperatures because they had no heat in the depth of winter. And here's the one that really makes your flesh crawl. Epidemic vermin spurred asthma attacks. In other words, the rats running around these hell holes.
It's unbelievable.
Were spreading asthma. And the city did nothing. By the way, the Daily News has a blistering editorial, the headline of which is De Blasio, Lying Slumlord. So they're taking aim at the mayor.
Well, the Post said he should resign.
Yes. Steve Cuso in the Post called for his resignation.
Well, let's hear what De Blasio says.
Oh, no.
It was not the easiest action to take. It was certainly not the traditional action to take in government. We did something very different here.
And yeah, you
I
lied.
Made this decision because I believed it was the right thing to do.
What, to admit that you screwed up and we're going to pay over $2 billion to try to make it right over the next 10 years?
Even though my colleagues and I here did not create it, it is our job to fix it.
He doesn't accept responsibility.
I want to be very clear, when I ran for this office, I did not run for this office to continue a broken status quo.
Well, you did.
Well, do you think, he didn't say it was Cuomo's fault, though. Remember he criticized Cuomo for the photo ops?
Yes.
You know, while De Blasio was, where was he, out campaigning somewhere? He was somewhere.
I remember De Blasio was out there in one of those progressive left-wing hippie communes somewhere near Austin, Texas, I think.
Oh, South by Southwest?
South by Southwest, exactly. That yeah. You know that is amazing to me.
I know a lot of stuff, Riedel. I'm not just a pretty sports face, okay?
But Cuomo was running around the city with photographers looking at the holes where the rats lived and the plumbing that didn't work. And he and De Blasio got in a war of words over it. But De Blasio is the one now who's getting his butt kicked.
I want to be clear. I want to be straightforward. We can't hold ourselves blameless either. This administration also has made mistakes. There were too many times that things happened on our watch that we didn't know about.
Oh, you think?
We didn't know about. The point is, though, Len, according to this lawsuit, the NYCHA people did know, because when inspectors from the government were going to look at some of these housing projects, the NYCHA people would run over there with toilet paper and tissue paper and plug the holes where the rats lived.
That's unbelievable. That really just, that's unbelievable.
But
that's
more disgusting. Important is to fix what's broken. People live in public housing, need action, and they need it as quickly as possible. And that's where our focus will be.
Well, I hope, okay, we'll throw money at it. We're going to throw over $2 billion because there was a big lawsuit. So they're going to settle out with a couple billion dollars. Let's hope it works.
And it's not as though we didn't know all this was going on. As you pointed out, the Daily News has been thundering against this for months.
I know. And then we're, you know, we do the show every morning, and a lot of times we saw the big stories in the Daily News and kind of glossed over it because, you know, we've never been in a building like that. I can't imagine what it's like. I mean, if someone wants to give us a call and let us know what conditions are like, we'd love to hear from you. But I'm telling you, I hope the money works. It's probably going to cost more than $2 billion to fix all these problems.
I would imagine so.
It's just unbelievable. All right, so obviously Korea, the big story, and the big meeting in Singapore. And we get back, Alex Castellanos will join us, ABC News political commentator. Let's get his take on Singapore. Big deal or not so big? It's 7 o'clock.
The heart of Tribeca. This is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Morning, everyone. It's 7:05. If you're just getting up, you want to know what happened over there in Singapore. They signed an agreement. The two of them met. Everything was cordial. The president says some very complimentary things about Kim Jong-un. They have a four-point agreement. And what's your number one takeaway?
Peace
from this?
In our time, Len. Peace in our time.
So you think 100% this is it? Well, let's hope so. So the four-point agreement says they will establish new relations according to the desires of the people for peace and prosperity. All right, that's right. They're going to join their efforts to build a lasting and stable peace regime on the Korean Peninsula. That's good. Number three, obviously, is the most important one, reaffirming the Panmunjom Declaration that North Korea commits to work towards complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. I mean, that's the
good thing.
Well, that's the phrase that's being parsed by everybody. You know, the words are great, and let's see what the actions are. So that's cool.
Listen, Kim Jong-un could make out very well here. First of all, he's going to have guaranteed tenure. The United States is not going to take him out.
But he's still got the sanctions. So that's a big takeaway from this. We're not taking away any sanctions.
No, not yet. But when we do take away the sanctions, if this works out well, that country is starving, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And this country could be turned around, and Kim Jong-un and the North Koreans could be welcomed into the family of nations. And now is the time to buy your beachfront property there, because it might spike up in value one day.
I wouldn't do that just yet. But here's number four, and I think this is important, too, from a lot of aspects. The United States and the North Koreans commit to recovering POW/MIA remains, including the immediate repatriation of those already identified. So
that was something.
These are remains from half a century ago.
I know, but that was something that really haunted Trump. He said at the press conference that I heard earlier this morning, when he was campaigning for the presidency, he met a lot of families who had lost sons in North Korea, and they had never recovered the remains, and that stuck in his mind. So he brought it up with Kim Jong-un when he was negotiating with him, and Kim Jong-un said, okay, yeah, we will.
So I think you have to look at this soberly and say, this is great. It was a great first step, and let's hope the words transfer into actions, because right now it's just a lot of words. Now, one thing that the United States did give up or decided to do was stop the war games with South Korea, the joint military exercises. I think South Korea is a little befuddled by this. I don't think they knew this was coming. That's the reaction you get. But here's what President Trump said in the news conference.
Under the circumstances that we're negotiating a very comprehensive, complete deal, I think it's inappropriate to be having war games. So number one, we save money a lot. And number two, it really is something that I think they very much appreciated.
Well, that makes sense to me. The war games are an implicit threat to North Korea. If they don't behave, we could blow you up. Now that we're negotiating with them, now that we're trying to have a peace treaty with them, now that we're trying to get them to get rid of their nuclear weapons, which they say they've agreed to, why should we be having menacing exercises right around their shores?
Before the news conference, the president conducted two one-on-one interviews, one with Sean Hannity and one with George Stephanopoulos of ABC, which is already being aired on Good Morning America, and they talked about that issue as well.
They're going to be getting rid of sites.
Is he going to stop testing?
He's going to stop testing. Well, he already has. You know, we have, how many months has it been, George? Seven, where there's been no missiles going up.
All right. So, and he says, of course,
he really wants to do a great job for North Korea. I think he wants to denuke. It's very important. Without that, there's nothing to discuss. That was on the table at the beginning, and you see a total denuclearization of North Korea, so important, and he wants to do the right thing.
Well, now the hard part starts. You know, Pompeo's going to take up the next meeting in short order with the North Koreans. How do they denuclearize? What's the timetable? And Trump admitted it could take a very long time. So,
and they're going to have to
all look.
And they're going to have to let inspectors in. We're going to have to watch them blow up their nuclear sites and fill in their tunnels and destroy their missiles, all that kind of stuff.
Obviously, that leaves our big three. The Singapore summit's over. They signed the agreement. What does it mean going forward? That's the key. Also, in the big three, step right up and place your bets. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy signs the sports betting law. Murphy will place the first bet Thursday morning at Monmouth Park. And rounding out the big three, NYCHA is a mess. We all knew that. We discussed it a few minutes ago. They do agree to spend, city does, to spend $2 billion at least over the next decade to improve the housing for the poor. But, you know, and they do admit to spending years lying and covering things up. So.
Oh, great. Who's going to be held accountable? Nobody. No. Although the Daily News editorial says de Blasio, lying slumlord. Boom.
In 20 minutes, we'll give away some Mets tickets. We also have some tickets coming your way at 8:30. But right now, with all that's swirling around, it's our weekly spot with ABC News political analyst from Washington, Alex Castellanos. I'm sure, Alex, you're up all night watching the goings-on in Singapore. What's your takeaway from all this?
Well, it's fascinating to see and a tremendous accomplishment for President Donald Trump. The comb-over is now the second most popular haircut in North Korea.
We know the first.
Who thought we would come to that?
Hey, Alex. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's quite an accomplishment, not only internationally. Gone from Rocket Man and the possibility of nuclear war a few months ago to a much more stable situation and a dialogue that some folks thought might never exist. And this has political benefits for Donald Trump and Republicans. When there's a steady hand on the ship of state navigating the country through some turbulent waters, people are less inclined to replace the captain. And that's what Donald Trump is at this moment. He's helped himself politically.
Hey, Alex, you understand Trump's mind better than most analysts. Was this orchestrated summit, was this part of a strategy that Trump had? I'll scare him first, and I'll bring him back in. Or does Trump just make it up on the fly?
You know, again, we've talked about this before, and I'm not sure that accusing Trump of strategy is ever appropriate, but it's instinctive for him. This guy's a card player. He's a poker player. He's a deal maker. And yes, the two things we know about Trump is never display weakness and create uncertainty to keep your adversaries off balance. And he does both of those things. So yes, I think this is his style more than his strategy, and we see it in everything he does, from the G7 in Canada, disrupt and then put the pieces back together in a more favorable way.
We're on with Alex Castellanos, ABC News political analyst. And Alex, his critics make much of the fact that, he calls Justin Trudeau a backstabber and then smiles and shakes hands with a brutal dictator, Kim Jong-un. Your take on that?
Well, President Trump was offended by Canadian dishonesty in trade. They call it Canadian bacon, but we know it's not bacon, it's ham. It's an assault, affront to good American bacon, and you just won't stand with Donald Trump. Right. I think this was the president refusing to display any weakness before going to North Korea to negotiate in Singapore. When he saw Justin Trudeau stand there and say that we weren't going to be pushed, Canada's not going to be pushed around by the President of the United States, Trump sensed that as a display of weakness if he did not respond, and he asserted himself. It's a passing storm. We'll all love each other and get back to eating our Canadian bacon soon.
Talking about the G7, though, Alex, I wonder if you agree with me. I get a sense Trump just does not like this notion of all of these world leaders who see their countries not nationalistically, but as some sort of big global alliance. He just doesn't strike me as being comfortable with this notion of a global alliance.
I think that's right, and instinctively, I think when Trump looks at the European Union or the G7, he sees, or the United Nations, he sees the world versus the U.S.
Or NATO.
NATO. And what he sees is, wait, if I negotiate with them one-on-one, we have a stronger economy, the stronger military, I'm advantaged. If I negotiate and deal with them as a group, the U.S. economy and military strength is lessened comparatively. So, no, I don't think he is very comfortable in these larger organizations and sees a more productive path for the U.S. in bilateral, not multilateral negotiations.
We're speaking with Alex Castellanos, the fine ABC News political analyst. He's based in Washington. I'm sure you've read the text of the joint statement. It's short. It's two pages. I have it in front of me. And you know, the critics were out there very quickly on several networks saying that, you know, there are a lot of words here, but there's not a lot of meat. Your thoughts?
And they're right. But the starting line is never the finish line. And that's what this is. Usually a statement like this comes at the end of years of diplomatic negotiations. But Donald Trump doesn't work that way. What diplomats do in private, Donald Trump does in public, on the global stage, loves the spotlight. So has he jump-started this process? Yes, in a tremendous way. And I think by doing it in the open, I think he makes it much harder for North Korea to start slipping back. I mean, the arguments against what Trump is doing in North Korea are the arguments that the anti-Trump forces all embrace when we're dealing with Iran. We can't possibly deal with a dictatorial regime that savages its own people, and how can we trust them when they've never kept an agreement? Well, that's Iran. So it's a start, yeah. Not a finish.
Hey, Alex, you're a political strategist. Jump to the other side. Pretend you're a Democrat for a moment. What do you do now? Do you attempt to tear down Trump's achievements, or is this a time where you have to sit back and just let him run with it for a bit?
If I were on the left, I would on occasion give Donald Trump a hug, pat him on the head and say, look, he finally got something right, and have more credibility when you actually have legitimate attacks on Donald Trump. The left can't do that. Their hatred for Trump is just so visceral. But, you know, Trump is actually helping himself politically here. And I think the Democrats are making a mistake by never giving Donald Trump room to get anything right.
Alex, you make a great point. No, you make a great point, and I'd like to discuss in one of our future visits, because I view it both ways. I view it, if the Democrats only knock, 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 and those only support, and I think if anyone is 100% on one side or the other, and always 100%, I think they lack credibility. I think you have a lot more credibility if you mix in a little salt with the pepper. I really do.
I think that's exactly right in diplomacy and marriage. At least I've learned that.
Hey, Alex, one quick question. Do you think we'll ever see Kim Jong-un in the Lincoln bedroom?
I think you'll see him. I don't know if the Lincoln bedroom, but I think you'll see him in the White House soon. And I think we may also be headed for a Putin-Trump summit soon.
Very interesting.
All right. Thanks. Alex Castellanos, ABC News. Talk to you next week, Alex.
Take care.
Good to be with you.
Thanks, pal. Coming up next, we've got your Mets tickets and lesbians kissing in an Uber.
Whoa.
What could possibly go wrong with that?
But throw some water on me.
Bernie Vider. See if those Ubers are holding up traffic right now.
In the morning, 710 WOR.
Happy Tuesday morning, everybody. It's 7:25. 5 minutes, we're going to be giving away some Mets tickets, so don't call now, but in 5 minutes, get ready to man the phones, because we've got some tickets to give away. Now, did you see the story in the Daily News, Len? An Uber driver booted a couple of lesbians out of his car because they were kissing in the back seat.
Oh, horrors!
I know. Now, there's a picture of the young women.
Oh, yeah.
Alex,
are you going to go there?
Well, they're pretty cute.
Michael said, Michael probably would have done the story.
They're very cute.
If they were two baggers.
Listen,
but wow, they're really cute.
If Alex Iovine and Emma Pickle.
Pickle, I think.
Well, somebody's got him a pickle there.
What?
Sorry.
What did you say?
nothing.
Excuse me?
But if Alex Iovine and Emma Pickle are in the back of my Uber making out, I'm going to be pulling over and looking in the rear view mirror.
You're going to be climbing in the back seat.
These girls are really cute. But the Uber driver, his name is Ahmed Albatari. Apparently, he was offended that the inappropriate behavior, this is not the kind of conduct he wants in his Uber. So he stopped the car, tossed him out. They complained to Uber. They got a $22 refund.
That was it, huh?
And Uber is now investigating the situation. So they have maybe I'll volunteer to investigate the situation.
Well, here's what it sounded like as they were being shown the door on either side of the back.
Is there an issue? What's the issue?
I judge you first time, but don't do it.
Illegal for an Uber?
It is illegal. You don't do that.
Kissing is not illegal.
Yeah, it is illegal.
No, it's not.
You don't do that here in the car.
Anyone can kiss an Uber. You're sick.
You're allowed to do this.
Yeah, I am. No, we're filming you. Sir, why are we not allowed to kiss in an Uber?
Yeah. Is that a Uber? Is PDA not allowed heterosexually too?
The women claimed that it wasn't like they'd wrap their tongues around each other, okay? They called it a peck, That's all it was, just a little peck. I can understand.
A pickle peck?
Yeah, a pickle peck. You know, there are incidents, I'm sure, that people are trying to have sex in cabs and Ubers, and I can understand that might be crossing the line, and the taxi cab driver has the right to throw you out if you're taking your clothes off in the backseat.
But if it's heterosexual PDA, is that permitted in an Uber? He's saying it's illegal. Here's some more of this argument.
Nothing is illegal. It's not illegal to kiss in New York. Don't get off of her phone. Don't touch her.
Don't take it.
Oh, no. We're taking a video of you. I'm reporting you. You're going to get fired.
Okay, I'm going to get you fired.
Okay.
Can we call the cops right now, actually, before we close
the door? No. We can't call the cops.
I'm going to call. I want to.
No. We'll report him to Uber. It's okay.
No,
it's okay.
I want to call them.
Emma, stop.
Wow. Lesbian smackdown.
Don't mess with these lesbians. I'll tell you. Now, here is... we have sound bites with the women. Here's Alex. I think it's pronounced Iovine or Iovine.
It was immediate shock. We just couldn't believe that something like this was happening. It makes me sad that you feel this way. And I would just ask if I could get an apology for how he handled the situation.
And Emma Pickle had this to say.
I'd say if he feels so uncomfortable with two girls pecking in the back seat, then maybe he shouldn't be an Uber driver in New York City.
Yeah.
I'll take his place. They claimed it was pecking. They weren't doing the old French kiss back there. And I think it is inappropriate if people are trying to have sex in the back of your car. I think you can pull over and say, get out of my car if they're doing that. But these two young women, very comely young women, claim that they were just
saying that.
They're adorable. Look at the picture in the paper.
They are a handsome couple.
Yeah, maybe.
They said they had two drinks at a Gowanus bar.
They weren't drunk. They weren't drunk.
They said they're aware of Uber's code of conduct. I wonder what the Uber code of conduct is.
I don't know.
But was adamant that the two did nothing more than a quick smooch. Obviously, there must be a code of conduct when it comes to being drunk. I'm just wondering if he's claiming they're not allowed to kiss in an Uber. Is that also apply to heterosexuals? I can't believe that.
We don't know anything about this driver, but maybe in his religion, they don't accept homosexuality. Maybe he was offended by that. Sticky situation there.
Well, we're going to put up the video on our website. You be the judge and take a look at these two lovely women who have a relationship. And why are you shaking your head in there, Natalie?
Because why does that make a difference what they
Riedel.
Look like?
I'm just following Riedel's lead.
Yeah.
He's the newspaper guy.
Don't you try to pull that off of Michael, because I know it.
Come on. You can't deny these women are attractive.
They're attractive, but what does that have to do with the story?
The first time I saw the picture, I said, wow, they're two good looking
ladies. As I said, if I'm driving that Uber, I'm looking in my rearview mirror. I'm not kicking them out of my cab.
And Michael said, boy, they're lesbians. What a waste of talent. So if you want to go see the picture of them...
Emma Pickle.
You want to see them booted out of the car, go to our website, 710WOR.com/LennonMichael. You know what? I'll bail myself out of this.
Okay.
Please do.
Up comes the apple.
Sure. Yep. Your chance to win a pair of tickets. See the Mets take on the Rays July 6th at Citi Field, driven by your Tri-Honda dealers. Be caller number 12, 800-321-0710. You're the winner. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets.
Now let's get the 7:30 news from Mike Bauer. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Len. President Trump is headed back to the U.S. with a historic agreement in hand. At a summit in Singapore, North Korea agreed to give up its nuclear weapons. Trump praised North Korean leader Kim Jong-un.
Well, he is very talented. Anybody that takes over a situation like he did at 26 years of age and is able to run it tough. I don't say... He was nice.
No, well, I'd say
kill all his relatives.
Kill your relatives with anti-aircraft devices.
Feed him to the wild dogs. Ooh,
he's not running a startup company someplace.
Very talented.
A lot of talent.
The U.S. has agreed to stop joint military.
I'm so glad Trump never met Hitler.
What an honorable guy. All right, so he had a few peccadilloes.
Hey, the trains are running on time.
Impeccable shaving pattern. Impeccable.
By the way, that wasn't nice. The trains are running on time.
Well, okay. I didn't mean it that way, but you know.
I hope you did.
Infrastructure back
okay.
in place.
Oh, infrastructure.
Why am I defending Hitler? Jesus.
Awkward transition time. Mayor de Blasio says an agreement with federal government will serve as a turning point for NYCHA. He blames chronic failures at public housing on decades of divestment and national and local levels.
Even though my colleagues and I here did not create it, it is our job to fix it. And I want to be very clear, when I ran for this office, I did not run for this office to continue a broken status quo.
The city has agreed to pay $2 billion, with a B, $2 billion for repairs, and Federal Monitor will oversee the process. And Len, I know you're thrilled about this. The Staten Island Yankees are changing their name to the Staten Island Pizza Rats.
What? No, they're not.
At least for Saturdays.
Oh, okay.
Back Saturdays. In 2016, the team began looking for a new name that would give them a better hometown identity. So,
oh, Yankees are not a good identity here in New York?
How does that connect at all? I have no idea.
Are you crazy?
So they let the fans vote, which is always a good thing to
yes,
do.
Yes, I like that.
And the Pizza Rats were the winner. Several videos have gone viral showing rats around the city dragging around pieces of pizza. The name will be in place all Saturday night home games. So a little bit later on this month, you'll have the debut. And then logos, everything.
Everything on a uniform?
Jerseys, hats that they're going to be selling, the whole nine yards for the Staten Island Pizza Rats.
Well, I think that's premature because later on this morning, we have a story about the avocado squirrel. No, true. I'm not making this up. So, you know, so
they might want to change the vote. Yeah.
I like that. They should see if they had the cojones, they do it permanently.
Right?
I mean, that would be a great name. Permanently, the Staten Island Pizza Rats. That'd be great. That'd be New York.
Maybe this sticks, Len. Maybe it does so well on Saturdays that it sticks
for
the
future. Maybe the New York Yankees should change in it because maybe that could bring up some success. You know, call them the New York Pizza Rats.
Some success. I mean, they've been so desperate to get any success.
Maybe that'll help them out. But maybe that'll turn the corner for them.
All right, when we come back, we are throwing the phones open to you. 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710.
Clear the lines. We have the winner for Mets tickets. We need the lines cleared because we want to have
your
phone call.
We want your analysis of how President Trump did in Singapore with Rocket Man. So give us a call, 1-800-321-0710. Hey, iHeart Radio Musical Festival is back September 21st and 22nd at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Two nights, one stage, and listen to this lineup of performers. Justin Timberlake, Carrie Underwood, Mariah Carey, Kelly Clarkson, Sam Smith, and many more. Exclusive access to the Capital One cardholder presale starts today at 1 o'clock. So get your Capital One card and see the full lineup today at iHeartRadio.com/Capital One. And now let's go to Bernie Bider, traffic.
OR.
Good morning, everyone. It's 7:41. We're taking your calls. How do you think the president did with Kim Jong-un in Singapore? Give us a call, 800-321-0710. We want to hear from you. First, I want to congratulate Lena Hannon. She's from Brooklyn. She won the Mets ticket to see the Mets and Rays July the 6th. Maybe more important, she said she was a Len fan.
Yeah.
She said, I don't get enough support around here. And I think that was a direct shot at you, really.
Probably.
Yeah. Anyway, congratulations, Lena. We'll have Michael Riedel's personal seats coming up at 8:30. So,
and only my fans can call. The lines must be clear.
That's probably everybody. 800-321-0710. What do you think of what went down in Singapore? Let's start with Margaret in Brooklyn. Hey, Margaret, you're up.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good, doing great. What do you think?
I think it's a very low point in history. It's a two-bit dictator and a traitor who colluded with Russia to win the election. They're putting my flag with the flag of a communist. I mean, really?
Yeah, but Margaret, wouldn't you rather have peace than war?
Yeah, but this isn't about peace. This is about Trump getting all the attention. It's always about him.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, you crossed me up, Margaret. I thought for sure we'd get unanimous voters from our listeners that thinking this is great thing. All right, Margaret. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the show. Appreciate the input.
Let's go to line two and Vinny from Massapequa Park. Good morning, Vinny.
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, I'm the direct opposite of that opinion. He is a nimble negotiator. That's why we elected him. He carried his negotiating skills from dealing with construction trades and building to the White House, and he gets things done. He's doing his job. He's doing what no other president was able to do, and the world is a safer place for it.
All right, Vinny. Vote apiece. Let's get in as many as we can possibly get in here. Wow, all the lines are loaded up. Hey, Monica in Westfield, welcome back to the show. Monica, how you doing?
Good morning. I love your show. When I got the news from your radio show about President Trump, the first word that came to my mind was proud. I am so very proud of our president. Really, I am. It's such a difference from I hate to say this, and I don't mean it to sound really bad, but there's such a difference from our previous president. I'm very, very proud of President Trump.
All right. Great, Monica. Good to hear that. Just like Len is very proud, too. Hey, what does Ed have to say in Westchester? Good morning, Ed, on line four.
Hey, guys. You know, it's just finally a breath of fresh air
to have a businessman in the White House.
Yes.
I've been begging America. Enough of the political correctness. I love the holding hands and warm and fuzzy. It's getting ugly out here, and we got a businessman who's going to steamroll people. You want to throw rocks? We'll throw boulders. I'm sorry. It's a great step for America. I'm happy this guy in Korea is finally, maybe and maybe not. It could be window dressing. Let's see what happens. And I just hope the liberals don't go crazy, Len, when there's Trump hotels all over North Korea.
Why'd you address that at me, Ed? I'm just sitting here minding my own business.
I watched you for 25 years on NBC.
Yeah.
And you know what? Just be honest. You're a big, and I'm not, man. You're a big Hillary guy. She's a crook. We all know it. Just admit it. Put your big boy pants on and admit it, Len. Just admit it.
Okay, Ed. I'm going to put my shorts on and say I voted for Hillary, but I wasn't a huge fan. No, I'm not a big Hillary person, but I did.
Okay.
I did vote for her. Right. I'll admit it. Hey, Ed, thanks. Appreciate the call. Thanks for listening. Let's go to Piero in Glenwood, New Jersey. Hey, Piero, you're up next.
Good morning, guys. Great show. Len, one time we ate at adjoining tables at Le Cirque. We never said
really?
Hello to each other, but we had table.
Le Cirque.
Yeah,
I remember you got in the food fight, and that's a really classy restaurant. I was really annoyed that you did that.
Did you happen to notice who picked up the bill at Len's table?
No, I was worried about my own bill.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a pricey place.
Totally.
Le Cirque. Boy, that goes back a ways. Yeah.
Yes, it does. It does. Right. Listen, Trump, he's doing a great job. Let the process work out. I think he finally made Kim understand that he's going to be a rich man. What happens to all these state properties, this city on the coast there? All of a sudden, it becomes a little rocket man's property, and he's going to cash in the chips. And that's basically the end game for all of this.
Well, it's all about the Benjamins, even in North Korea. Hey,
Trump,
thanks,
hotels everywhere.
Nice dining with you, by the way.
Hey, let's go to line six. And Robert, calling all the way from Rodgers and Hammerstein's, Oklahoma. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning. The corn is as Robert. High as an elephant's eye, I think.
Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. I'm very pleased and proud of our president. Oklahoma has 77 counties, and in the last three elections, the Democrat hasn't carried a single county.
Aha!
And I have to tell you, every morning when I listen to you, Riedel, you sound just like Grant Shaw off of Murphy Brown. I'm sorry.
Who is that?
Grant Shaw, Murphy Brown?
Who is the Grant Shaw? In what
Brown?
Way?
The guy that played Miles.
So does that mean is that a good thing?
I don't know. That's why I'm saying I don't know how you interpret that.
I always get Niles from Frasier, but not Miles from Murphy Brown.
Mm. Yeah, he sounds like Miles.
Thanks, Robert.
Thanks, Robert,
for listening in Oklahoma. How about Frank in Old Bridge, New Jersey? The president's on a roll now with our listeners. Go ahead, Frank.
Good morning, guys. I'd like to reply to Margaret. Margaret, at least we didn't give him $1.5 billion like Obama gave to the biggest terrorist regime in the Middle East.
Margaret. Unbelievable. I can't believe Margaret said that. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it. Let's try to squeeze in one more.
Yeah, let's hit Nikki from Fort Lee. Good morning, Nikki.
Good morning, gentlemen. Trump made a no-lose deal. He's touting this as a denuclearization. If Kim says no and he reneges, Trump just says, well, can't trust him, pull back the deal. And let's go. So he's going to not lose. He set himself up beautifully.
Meaning let's blow him up?
As long as he doesn't change any of the sanctions. Keep all the sanctions in place, and I'm with you, Nikki.
Exactly.
All right, good deal. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Well, the Margaret call surprised me, because I assumed it would be unanimous.
Margaret is like the cheese. She stands alone.
Is that a cheese thing?
Yeah, the cheese stands alone.
I don't know. Anyway, we're going to take some more calls later on this morning, perhaps, if we have some time.
We will.
But when we return, stick around, because we've got the Dukes of Hazzard. We've got Goodfellas. It's all part of our entertainment news, and that's coming up next. Hey, after 9/11, did you live in Lower Manhattan? Did you work there, go to school there? Did you help with rescue, recovery, cleanup, or construction near Ground Zero? So, were you in Lower Manhattan below Canal Street between September 11th, 2001 and the summer of 2002? And have you been diagnosed with cancer? If you answered yes to these questions, you may be eligible for compensation. Call attorney Noah Kushlevsky, the New York lawyer who's established himself as the go-to guy with the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. He's recovered over $1 billion for clients affected by the World Trade Center attacks. He's here to help you. Just look him up, folks. How many cases over $1 million? Well, Noah's resolved over 400 of them. $400 million cases. So, if you're a student or live near Ground Zero or work near there below Canal Street after 9/11, and now you have cancer, call them. Call 888-974-3125 or go online to groundzerocancer.com. That's groundzerocancer.com or call 888-974-3125. Let's see how the traffic's rolling. Here is Bernie Bike.
And good morning, everybody. We got some entertainment news for you here at 7:54. Were you a fan of the Dukes of Hazzard television show, Len?
Well, we used to. I remember that my kids at that time were right there. I mean, that was show fun. Was big. It was a fun show.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves.
You know, that show might be a little politically incorrect now, because I think their car had a Confederate flag on it, so he probably couldn't get away with that.
Oh, no.
But John Schneider, he played Bo Duke on Dukes of Hazzard. Right. He is facing jail time over unpaid spousal support.
Uh-oh.
He's been ordered by a judge to serve some light jail time for at least a few days after not paying his estranged wife, Elvira Castle. He could spend about 3 days in the Los Angeles County Jail for alimony he's not paid. He owes about $150,000. He claims he has fallen on hard times because really? He has a movie studio in Louisiana that was destroyed in a March 2016 flood, and he's had to pour wow. all of his money to fix up the movie studio. But in the meantime, he's headed to the clink for not making his
Well, I wonder
payments.
How much money he owes, because he missed the deadline in March to pay more than $150,000. I mean, is that for a year? Is that for a couple of years? Or wow.
He's not the only Dukes of Hazzard who got in trouble. Remember Tom Wopat? He was the co-star.
Oh, yeah.
Big on Broadway, Tom Wopat.
Wopat was. I knew him pretty well.
And by the way,
he was very good on
Broadway.
How did
he get in
shows.
Trouble? For what?
Well, he allegedly grabbed a woman's buttocks in a production of 42nd Street up in Massachusetts, and she charged him with assault, and when the police came to arrest him, they found cocaine on him.
Oh, that's not good. So,
and everyone needs to know that Schneider was the one with the
blonde hair.
The blonde flowing hair, because the girls always thought he was the cutest.
His ex-wife is very pretty, too, Elvira Castle.
Very pretty, yeah. So the girls like Tom Schneider, John Schneider
over
Tom Wopat?
Yes, back in the day, absolutely.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think so. What about Boss Hogg? I always had a I like Boss Hogg.
Tell me what you thought of Daisy Duke, by the way.
I'll tell you what I thought about Daisy Duke.
I never noticed her face. I was always looking at those cutoffs.
Sure. Bazookas. So you were a Bo Duke gal, Natalie.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
I was.
A hot blonde. Should have married him. He could have stiffed you.
So you,
there you go.
What? Oh, okay. Oh, you mean
that's what I mean.
Oh.
No, I mean it's.
Oh. So you guys Ariana Grande fans? Ariana Grande, boy, our assistant producer, Anthony's crushed today. Because it turns out that Ariana Grande is engaged already to Pete Davidson. He's kind of the wacky character on Saturday Night Live.
Minor character.
Well, he's a wacky guy. He's kind of a funny guy. They've only been dating a few weeks, and boom, they're engaged.
Oh, and Anthony, your heart is broken?
Yeah, it's a sad day.
Really?
Yes.
Anthony, by the way, is moving out of his parents' house.
Yes, finally.
He was saving up some money to take Ariana Grande to coffee for a Grande latte, I guess. And now
get some donuts.
She's not going to be hanging out with you anymore, Anthony.
I did hug her once, though.
You did?
Yes.
Did she call the bodyguards on you?
It was a tender moment.
Well, I'm sure she remembers it well.
And she sang about it.
Baby, don't you know?
Good. Was she the one who had that donut problem? Was she the one in a Dunkin' Donuts?
Yes,
she was licking the donuts or something?
Yeah, that was a while ago. But, I mean, obviously everybody remembers her from the concert in England where she
Manchester.
Manchester. Yeah. So she obviously has grown up a lot.
They had the terrorist attack there in Manchester. Mm-hmm. And she was... She handled it really well.
She did.
Went to visit the victims in the hospital.
She did.
She came back and gave another concert there.
I think a lot of people forgave her for the donut licking incident.
Well, that's amazing. She's engaged already to Pete Davidson. How about a big Goodfellas fan, are you?
I love Goodfellas.
Love Goodfellas.
Can see that when you play that music, I see them opening the truck in the meat packing district with one of the mobsters' corpses hung up on the meat rack and all frozen. Remember that? That's when they show all the dead bodies.
You know what scene stands out for me is the helicopters overhead when he realizes
they're
coming after him towards the end.
Oh, that's true.
My favorite all time scene was.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to f-ing amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Joe Pesci. I met him once. I swear to God, I said to him in the green room on Live at 5. The first word to him, you think I'm funny?
Yeah, like you're the first one to have ever done that to him.
Very clever, Len. Really clever.
He didn't seem amused by that.
I'm sure
I don't think
it's
he thought
not.
It was funny. But what's the story
Well,
here?
We're talking because the diner in Queens that was featured in the movie, it's when Robert De Niro and Ray Liotta, they're sitting in a booth, and Robert De Niro steps out to make a phone call, and he has been told that Joe Pesci has been killed.
Oh, I remember the diner scene.
A fire burst out in that
diner. Really? Where's it located?
It is in MassPeth.
Oh, wow.
Around 4:30 p.m., prompting response from more than 60 firefighters.
Wow, I remember that diner scene. Absolutely.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. But no injuries were
Michael,
reported.
Hey, Michael, do I amuse you? You think
no.
I'm funny?
No.
Not at all.
Huh? No, sometimes you are.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, what the heck was Dennis Rodman blurbing about on CNN? We'll talk about that when we get back. After the 8 o'clock news with Blubber and Mike Bauer.